Socialism has almost always been a dirty word in American politics, particularly to conservatives like Sarah Palin.
Barack Obama is a socialist. He believes in socialism, in redistributing wealth.
Politicians who call themselves socialists have never had much success in the United States. Now, Seattle has elected socialist candidate Shama Sawant over longtime incumbent Richard Conlon.
We wanted to understand this victory in the context of history. So this morning I spoke with John Nichols. He's Washington correspondent for The Nation and author of The S Word, A History of Socialism in America.
Within the last century, socialists have served openly and unapologetically as mayors of major cities like Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Reading, Pennsylvania. They've served on city councils from New York to Los Angeles. They've led school boards. They've been county sheriffs. Socialists have served in the U.S. Congress as members of the Socialist Party. Fiorello LaGuardia was elected to Congress in 1924 on the Socialist Party line. And so it's the S word, as I describe it in my book, has been with us for a very long time. It's just there are some moments when it's quite accepted in our politics, other moments when it is more dismissed.
Bernie Sanders is probably the highest elected official who calls himself a socialist. He was elected to the Senate in 2006. Why has he had so much luck in Vermont running under the socialist banner?
I think it is a very simple answer, and that is that when socialist or social democratic or radical candidates, whatever political grouping or ideological grouping they tend to put themselves in, when they can get to know people on a one-to-one basis, when they can have more of a grassroots campaign, they tend to do significantly better. And that is because most of our media does a lousy job of covering ideology across the board. Libertarians complain that they're not very well covered, and certainly socialists and social democrats complain. And the one thing to understand is that Vermont is a small state. Bernie started out in the 1970s as a candidate and lost a couple of races initially. But as people got to know him, and they got to know what he stood for, he did better and better politically, becoming mayor of Burlington, then congressman, then senator. And that's one of the important things to think about in this context. There's too much of a tendency to think about the word to describe the ideology. What actually attracts the voters at the end of the day are the proposals, the ideas, the repairs, if you will, for the system. And one of the things that I think that Sawant, for instance, in Seattle had going for was that in a city with a relatively predictable politics, you had somebody come along with some very, very bold proposals, $15 minimum wage, taxing millionaires, protecting public services and public education in a very bold way, rejecting austerity. And that sounds dynamic in the face of a politics that's generally much more cautious, much more constrained.
There's the Democratic Socialist Party. There's the Socialist Workers' Party. Shama Sawant is with the Socialist Alternative Party. Are all socialists the same?
Absolutely not. Socialists in this country have historically grouped into a number of different political parties. The most successful, again, historically, has been the Socialist Party, which is the party of Eugene Victor Debs and Norman Thomas. More recently, Democratic Socialists of America, which is a group that often works within the Democratic Party, has had some significant success. But there's also a long tradition in this country of what are referred to as independent socialists. And those are folks who may be associated with a group or may actually run on their own, but use the word. And I think that what you're seeing in Seattle is that the word, whichever grouping it comes out of, in this case, Socialist Alternative, is one that people are not nearly so frightened by and don't find nearly so scary as a lot of national media folks sometimes tend to imagine.
I'm speaking with John Nichols. He's the author of The S Word, A History of Socialism in America. What do you know about Shama Sawant's brand of socialism, the Socialist Alternative Party? What do they stand for?
Well, I think that she's been very blunt about it. A stark and strong criticism of how a capitalist system has responded to economic challenges, and a proposal for a host of changes, some of them intermediate and some of them much bolder over the long term. It fits very well, not merely in some socialist traditions and some international movements, but also, intriguingly, I think it has a lot of roots or a lot of connections to the Occupy movement. And while Occupy was not a explicitly socialist movement, it certainly brought many social democratic critiques to debates about American policy. And as you'll recall, Shama Sawant was active with Occupy Seattle. And I think that this is often the case. When you see a socialist or a social democratic political figure come up, especially at the municipal level, it's often someone who has been very, very active on a number of fronts in the labor movement, in neighborhood movements, in education movements, in all sorts of other LGBT drive, civil rights efforts. And I think that in that case, Seattle has seen the rise of sort of a classic socialist or social democratic candidate.
Sawant has called for the $15 an hour minimum wage. She's called for rent control, and she's publicly called for a millionaire's tax. But in looking at some of the party literature for the Socialist Alternative Party, we see they stand for public ownership and democratic control of major banks. Could it be that she's downplaying some of those aspects of what the Socialist Alternative Party stands for in a run for city council?
Well, I saw her campaign. I don't think she downplayed her vision. What I would remind you of, though, is that those stances are very, very similar to the stances of the American Socialist Party of 100 years ago, when Eugene Victor Debs was getting 1 million votes nationwide and 6% of the national total, when socialists were being elected to Congress. They often, a very major part of their agenda was public ownership of major banks and utilities. When Robert M. La Follette, the great progressive, who was not a socialist but got a lot of socialist support, especially in the Northwest, ran for president in 1924 and got the better part of 15% of the vote nationally, he proposed the public ownership of major utilities. And so these ideas, which I think sometimes sound very radical today, ultimately have a lot of history and are a approach that is not particularly out of sync with, again, socialist and social democratic traditions.
That's John Nichols, Washington correspondent for The Nation and author of The S Word, A History of Socialism in America, and the latest chapter being written right now with our new city council member, Shama Sawant, taking office in January.